This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Ma lolele and welcome to Neesh and Footy, especially to all our Tongan listeners who had a close loss this morning in the first test of a history-making series against England in rugby league. But like always, welcome to Neesh and Footy, the spot to keep up with all our rugby league and rugby union Pacifica talent. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is actually not the Cook Island cutie, Tinura Arona. He's away, but please make him welcome for the very first time, his debut, my co-host, my old schoolmate, Joseph Paulo. Sefa, welcome, brother.
Good day, bonjour, talofa lover to you, Sam, and to everyone listening. Yes, I'm excited to step in for Tinerau this week, but we'll hear from him as he caught up with Shelley Long in PNG after their win.
Oh, mate, it's awesome to have you, Sefa, from high school to here now in the studios, doing a radio show. Look, I'm absolutely pumped for this to happen.
What an opportunity, Sam. Who would have thought two guys running around in Blacktown, Patrician Brothers, would be on radio? But here we are.
Yeah, mate, I'm absolutely pumped to have you on, bro. That's all good. And we've got a massive show coming up. Rugby World Cup we'll be talking about.
Yep.
Obviously, we mentioned the Tongans, close loss there. The Rugby League Pacific Championships is also on in both the men's and the women's game. And also, we've got the World 15 in the girls' rugby as well, so plenty to chat about. But before we get to all that, we'll start with our moment of the week.
Moment of the week.
Yes, it's our moment of the week. And this week, obviously, we spoke about the Pacific Championships happening over in Papua New Guinea. And there's obviously rugby league happening on the field, but it's off-field where this week's moment of the league, and we've got Brad Takarangi from the Cook Islands, this little audio clip of him in the villages of PNG. Mate, that's absolutely outstanding because that wasn't the actual Cook Islanders singing that song. It was the local village kids in PNG. They learnt that song and sung it back to the Cook Island team. How special is that?
What a moment for Cook Island Rugby League to actually be playing over and to see that. As an old teammate of Brad Takarangi, you know, he's played plenty of test matches for Cook Islands, but that would have been a proud moment for him and his family and understanding why they call Papua New Guinea the home of rugby league.
Absolutely. It was special to see the smile on the faces and right through everyone's, I guess, social media feed from PNG and the Cook Islands. It's just heartwarming and they're just getting exposure and feeling so much different compared to, I guess, the normal experience that you'd get if you were just playing a test match back here in Australia. So to the Cook Island team, to the PNG community, yeah, it's outstanding. And speaking of PNG, you know, rugby league, yep, mad, Sif, do you think them getting the 18th NRL team, do you think that's got legs?
For sure. You know, they've been looking at to expand the game in the NRL and to go to the heartland of PNG and have a club and a rugby league team there to build from your grassroots to your academy and now to have an NRL team to aspire to. You've seen it with the PNG Hunters. They've done well in the Q Cup. And it's exciting, and there's a plenty of promise. Obviously, looking outside of rugby league, the relationships between Australia and PNG, that's only going to further that relationship and grow that. So to invest in sports, it's the kind of relationship that you want to see more of in a sense of community-based, local-based, and now country-based.
What about for a player like NRL teams? Do you think they'd want to travel over there like during their season? Do you think they'd want to do it? I know it sounds great and it's going to have a ripple effect if it did come in, but what about a player? Do you think they'd want to travel over there?
I can only speak on my own experience. I didn't get the chance to play over there, but everyone you speak to that plays in PNG, they feel it. They love it. And they just breathe rugby league. It brings a sense of a belonging that you probably don't get every week in NRL. Sometimes when you're playing week to week, the games can just feel like it's just happening and turn up this week, do my job. But you go to a place like PNG, you get off the plane, you feel the heat, you feel the crowd, you feel the atmosphere. It's like you can't even walk out of the airport and you're like, well, what are we? Like, are we celebrities? Like, so the show's already started before you land there. So, yep. You know, to all those players that are going to take action, well, man, I wish I could be privileged and be one of those players that take the field.
I love that
play
take.
Next year.
I absolutely love that take on that. And speaking of rugby league, let's get into the rugby league results.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Clydesdale and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Yep. So on the weekend, my old team, the Tor Samoa versus the Kiwis. I don't want to bring up the score.
That's all good, eh? That's what we're here for. We're going to let the people know. We're going to tell the truth.
But we'll talk about the opening exchange, the haka versus the Sivatau.
They end up millimetres from each other, and Nelson Asifa-Solomona is in a standoff with Spencer Lemieux. Oh, my.
We can call that the highlight of the match, if you would like. But to see Big Nelson and Spencer go head-to-head and just bring that intensity that you witness every week when you see the Pacific Championship. I heard you boys speak about how good it was to put on the blue jersey, to wear the red jersey. But you see that and you see what you're representing. That's pretty much my highlight for the match as I bring it back. But the scoreline, you know, it hurts. To not score a try, wow, 50-0. But if we were to go along last week's Samoan players, it was...
Oh, are you going that route? You want to go down that route?
Well, I want to score some points this week, you know? It was 36-14.
So for the Samoan players that played for the Kiwis?
36-14.
To Samoa?
Yeah.
Oh, they won that game.
They actually won. If we went on the heritage and their descent... 36-14.
Oh, all right. Let's claim that then. Perfect.
But to look at the game, I spoke last week about Dejon Arce and Stephen Crichton, the halves. You're missing Anthony Milford and Jerome Luai from last year's World Cup. That's 300 games experience in the halves. And it sort of showed, you know. It just showed in their kicks, their display on their last tackles, their options, the sort of understanding of their plays. But the benefit of the whole Pacific Championship for Tor Samoa was the 12 debutants who played in these test series, you know. The future is bright for Tor Samoa. I know the score might not show, but there'll still be a lot of respect there for the players and proud moments for, like, Greg Mazu and Tommy Talao, son of Willie Talao, a former Bulldogs legend and St. Helens legend. So there's a lot to look forward to for the future. And to everyone who turned up at Eden Park for the Tor Samoa team, well done. They turned up in numbers. They kept cheering on their team. They waited to the end, and they got to see their players, the stars of Tor Samoa. So, you know, there's still great moments for that game, apart from the scoreline.
It seemed like the crowd were back in Samoa all the way, because the Kiwis actually got booed on home soil.
Yeah, it did feel like a home game, you know. As you probably know from previous years with the Mate Maatonga red wave, they brought their own blue wave to Eden Park. So it was a special moment to see all those fans interacting with their own players.
No, I agree, bro. It's always positive to see, regardless of the scoreline. You know, come World Cup time, we know that performance gap's going to close 100%, and that's what you want to gear the teams towards. But what about the other games, the Fiji Butty and the Cook Islands?
Fiji Butty versus Cook Islands. Wow. Just to see Fiji back in action. Especially with that opening hymn before they start every match. It's always a sense of pride when you see Fiji boys crying and singing their prayer. But it was a wonderful response from the Cook Islands team. I was really happy to see them really come for the challenge this week. They obviously learned a lot from last week, but the shining light for me was Eason Masters. He scored a try. He led from the front, and then he set up another two, you know. And to see just the way they played this week, Cook Islands, it was a great response from the Cook Islands against PNG this week.
Yeah, and then obviously the Fijians held on, but one player I want to highlight, I'm not sure if you saw him as well, but Ravalawa, the St. George winger, he seemed like he didn't really like Cook Islanders that much out there, because he was hunting hunting from his wing, like coming across, shooting out of the line. It was offside for one of them. He probably should have been caught a few more times, but he was absolutely on a mission to pump some of the Cook
Island
players.
You said mission, Sam, and you couldn't have said it any better. He definitely was on a mission. I don't know what the Cook Islands boys did to him during the week, if they put something in his coffee, but Ralawa might be changing positions. He might be moving further in the middle.
Get him in there. That's exactly right.
But I really liked the battle between Taruva and Kyle Irrell.
Yes.
It just felt like there was something going on there that he just took it personally, Irrell. And it really set the tone for the whole Cook Islands game. There was a funny moment from the match. The word falcon, it comes from the great Mario Fenech.
Yes.
But it's known for a ball that hits you on the head.
Short line drop and knocked on by Fiji. No, it says backwards to Wonga Blake. Wonga Blake's going to score between the sticks. Gee, I reckon you've got to challenge that. That looked to be a knock on by two Fijians. We're going to the video referee, but the soft call is try. Dino is spot on. The ball is tapped into Buller's face backwards.
It's whether or not Wonga Blake's
is offside. That's the only question now, because it's not a knock on, and I think Blake's onside too. So this could be a ridiculous try to Fiji to hit the lead for the first time. 12 minutes, 11 to go. It's going to be a try to Wonga Blake. It is. Fiji's in front. Fiji 14, Cook Islands 12 with a try in the 68th minute.
Wow. When I think of a falcon, the last time I got a falcon in a match, I got knocked out.
Did you?
But this led to a try assist.
Did your one lead to a try assist, even though you might have been out cold? Or you can't remember?
I don't remember, Sam.
Okay, fair enough.
Not one of my highlights, but a funny moment, like on the weekend, that led to a try. But in the other match we had this morning,
the main event,
the Mate Ma'atonga making history, like you said, the first Tier 2 nation to have a series overseas. And they went down to England 22-18.
Close game, very close game. Obviously over there, you know, I was fortunate enough to have an interview with Christian Wolf, you know, just before they went over on that tour, and he was chomping at the bits for his team so they could prepare for a three-test series. It hasn't been done before, as you mentioned, and he likened it to, you know, like State of Origin, where if they won the first game, then you would have to back up the second week, you know. If you lost, it's the response that you're looking for. So it's not like a do-or-die match. There's three chances here to be able to put in a performance and prepare well away from home, be homesick, and find that bit of fight inside that I guess Island teams, they've got that when there's a lot of emotion involved, but this time with their fans and their family not being there, it's going to be a little bit different. So I think this is amazing for them, and I think you said as well, you got to listen to Christian Wolf after the game, and he had sort of like a similar train of thought.
He spoke about the game. Obviously, disappointing result for Tonga this morning, but he said that you got to remember these boys haven't played for 7 to 8 weeks. So that's a lot of time to be away from rugby league, doing your own conditioning, your own fitness. And you think about the Super League players that represented England. They just played a grand final last week. So these guys have been up for this game probably since they found out there was going to be a test series. So there's still a lot of positives to take away from the match.
Absolutely.
Well done to Adam Fanua-Blake, who captained the Mate Ma'atonga team. He's had an outstanding season for the
Best
Warriors.
Best footwork in the game for a 120-plus kilo player, do you reckon?
Yeah. If obviously
what do you reckon he's heavier?
I don't have the scales for the Warriors, but, you know, if he's riding 120, he's 120 to me. With that footwork, he's probably 108. So.
Seth, obviously we just mentioned that They've got to have that response. If there was a change to the MMT to help them get that result, what would that be, you reckon?
The only change I would really look at is Tolu Taukola.
Oh, yeah, big Tolu Taukola, yeah.
You've seen him at the back end of the season for Manly. He played
Lightning
at fullback.
Quick, yep.
And it's sort of like what we spoke about, Sua. They're the sort of players you're trying to inject into this game, the Reece Walsh. They have that sense of energy around him, like something's going to happen when they touch the ball. So you've got the experience of Will Hopewadi there. Obviously, his understanding of defensive numbers and where players should be, you need that experience. So maybe just a rotational during the game, but I wouldn't look to obviously change the positions, but like use them differently during the game.
Look, there was also another game in the women's game with the Kiwi Ferns and Mate Matonga, and Shelley Long will obviously go into that one, but I just could not resist playing the try from my co-host on that Pacific Sports show, Tiana Benitani.
6 metres out from the goal line, played for Nua Tonga on the attack. Goes left, Tiana Benitani straight through. She's able to score a double, Tiana Benitani. That was looking like the centre that we're normally accustomed to seeing from her, and she's able to get a double.
Yeah, very special moment for Tiana and her sister Tash, who played for Tonga as well. And you talked about Crichton before, shifting from the centres to the halves. Tiana had to do that in this game, but she made light work of that, scoring a couple of tries. So I think in future, I reckon she's found herself a new home in the halves.
And coming up this week, we have the Kangaroos versus Kiwis, plus the Jillaroos versus Kiwi Ferns on Saturday night. We've got the PNG Kumuls versus Fiji Butty on Sunday afternoon in Port Moresby. Get around there. And England versus Tonga for game two at Huddersfield.
You know the best thing about, I guess, the Pacific Nations, Seth, the championships, is the fact that you can listen to them on ABC Radio Australia.
Get around.
It's Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona.
Rugby Union. We are crossing over. Finally, the big dance is upon us. This time next week, we will know who the true number one rugby nation is in the world. Give me your prediction straight away. Just off the bat, I'm going to fire it at you. And we'll go into depth in the other games, but I just want your thoughts.
Coming from France, seeing the whole last 12 months, the way they have built up this World Cup, I was hoping to see France, Ireland, something different, something different. But I can't go past the All Blacks.
Yeah, okay. We will speak of the All Blacks. New Zealand, 44-6. They made light work of Argentina. I feel like they seem like a really happy camp at the moment. It just seems like Ian Foster, the coach, has got his team in the right frame of mind to be able to peak at the right time. And I thought they were just very impressive. Everything they did was clinical. They were really good at the breakdown. You know, Argentina probably played their grand final the week before. But for these guys, I think for the Kiwis, I just think they were just able to master that their game plan throughout that whole 80 minutes. They were clinical. And that's probably what they're going to need against South Africa. You know, they've got to know how to play on the back foot. They don't have to know how to use their kicking game. And I think it's what's been a highlight for New Zealand has been their back row, Frizzell, Kane, and Savia. Like those three really need to stand up against a massive South African forward pack to be able to get any type of momentum. Because as I said, the traffic that's going to be coming their way from the big South Africans is going to be immense, and they're going to have to do the job to be able to slow them down and take that power away from them. But also the other one is Tongan Samoan player, actually, Richie Maunga. I think his kicking game is going to be vital to be able to say, okay, if there's no momentum, they're going to have to know how to plug the corners. And the other one, I think the big one is Rico Ioane. What are your thoughts on him as an athlete and as a player, big Rico?
As you've probably seen, Sonny Bill has always been tutored as an athlete. Yep. But when you ask him the question, who's a young guy or athlete you think just has it all the attributes? And he always says, Rico Ioane. So for him to inject himself into the game, I remember watching him against South Africa before the World Cup in England. It just felt like he wasn't there, like himself. So he's obviously had 6 weeks to build into this final. I hope to see him using all his skills, all his attributes, because the team's going to rely on him to get them going forward.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. That's why I asked that question, because for his size, his athleticism, he really needs to inject himself as a 30. He's normally been a winger, and he's been able to finish so well against these sides, like against South Africa. But, you know, for this game, playing at 13, there's going to be ways where he's going to have to take a tough carry and take the load off his forwards just a little bit, because he's got footwork. He's a big body. He knows how to get his team on the front foot. So that he's vital for this game, especially defensively as well.
And you look at the way the All Blacks play. They're known to counter-attack. And South Africa will be thinking, we'll just kick to their 20 and let them run out. Let's see what they'll throw at us. So they're going to be looking for the Ioanes and their forwards to lead the front. But when you look at their counterattack, they might only get two or three opportunities. So do they take it, or do they play the mind game or the chess game and kick it back?
It's a good point. Speaking of technical and tactical, for me, South Africa. So they were in an epic game in terms of intense game. Probably wasn't the spectacle if you're a first-time rugby fan watching the game and thinking, what's going on here? But it was intense. South Africa wins 16-15 against England. And for them, tactically, their team makes the boldest and bravest decisions by far. Like their coach, Rassi, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Like he's come into the tournament against the All Blacks one time and he had seven forwards on the bench and one back. Like even you look at this game, there was three hookers on the bench. And so one of the hookers had to play flanker. Oh, it just all worked. And then, you know, if you make a mistake, sometimes a coach might leave you out there to make up for it. For you know sure. what it's like. Yeah. Yeah. You go, oh, please, coach, give me one more. I'll make up for it. He doesn't give his players the opportunity to do that. Like Willemse, their fullback, made his second mistake in the 44th minute off straight away. Like didn't even wait. As soon as that ball went out, he was off. Willy Larue comes on. But it's a masterstroke because they don't even look upset when they get taken off. They just understand this is the team. This is what's happened. We're on.
And you talk about unconventional coaching from Rassi. You think about the captain, Siya Kolisi,
yeah.
He's leading a whole nation and he's even prepared to take off his captain. So whatever culture he's building in the South African team, it's all been built for this last game.
It is. You know, he came off in the 50th minute, Siya, and he's been doing that the whole tournament. So he's obviously got a lot of faith in his team. And as you said, he's built a culture where everyone's bought into the fact that the team comes first, but more so the nation comes from, their country comes first. And I can't wait for this grand final because if I'm New Zealand trying to prepare for South Africa, normally you'd just go, oh, he's going to be a second rower, he's going to be a front rower, he might come on in the 15th minute, and you prepare. Whereas this time around, you're thinking, what's South Africa going to do? What are they bringing to this grand final? Because I've got no doubt he's already planned what he wanted to do. And even though they had a harder test match in terms of that semi-final, a lot of those guys, as you said, like Sia only played 45 minutes. So it's not like he played a full 80. You know, when you play 80 compared to 40 minutes,
it's a big difference.
It's a big difference within the body. So, man, it's going to be an epic, epic grand final. And I'm glad it's two Southern Hemisphere teams in there because we get to see, our Pacific brothers, you know, playing for the All Blacks. Plenty of Samoans and plenty of Tongans in that team. And I think it's just good for the Southern Hemisphere because I don't know, the media over there in the Northern Hemisphere have been hammering all of the Southern Hemisphere teams. So this is a great way to finish off the tournament and to decide who is going to be number one in the world. And I think, Seth, you said New Zealand?
That was my prediction.
By how many?
Ooh. It's going to come down to goal kicks or penalty kicks. So I'm going to have to go with an odd number and New Zealand by 9.
Oh, by 9. That's still a big score. I think if New Zealand will win, it will be by 1 point. If a South Africa win, it will be 13 plus.
Wow, bold prediction.
That's my bold prediction. I'm going off the South African, you know, the coach, bold with his decisions.
Fair enough.
Well, what's also juicy about these two teams, these two nations coming together again, South Africa beat New Zealand early in the year, 35-7, and New Zealand beat them in Auckland earlier as well. I think it was 35-20. So there's been a big margin, but that's why I said it's going to either be 13 plus to the...
Do you think the weather will be a deciding factor?
Has to be. Like it was wet in that semi-final for South Africa and England.
And it was dry.
It was a bit drier for
the All Blacks.
The All Blacks game. And I'm assuming the All Blacks obviously want it to be a dry game. But also,
both teams, they've both won 3 World Cups.
So someone's going to take home the 4th.
Someone's going to be on top of that ladder.
Yes, they will be. And some other big milestones too, actually. Jonah Lomu's record may be broken in this game.
Very true. Julian Savea.
Oh, Julian Savea as well. Habana
from South Africa.
So 8 tries in the World Cup. No one's got to 9. And Will Jordan for New Zealand.
He did have a chance on the weekend.
Richie Moonga didn't pass it, did he? Was it Richie Moonga?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Just denied him. But, hey, it could happen. It could happen this World Cup. But another news as well. Fiji coach Simon Rawalui has decided not to take up an extension to coach Fiji beyond this year. So that's huge news coming out of Fiji. Fiji is doing everything they can to try and keep him. Obviously, of what he's done with that team. I guess there's reports going around that Simon has a desire to maybe coach in Australia.
Okay.
That's the pathway he wants to go down. He's been there before as a Wallabies assistant coach under Michael Checker.
Yep.
So there could be something there, but who knows? Who knows? Someone might be able to come in and keep him there because he's done an amazing job this year.
Yeah, they're hard to find coaches, you know. Obviously, he's done an amazing job, like you said, with Fiji, and just want to wish him all the best for the future.
And in other results for the World 15 competition in the women's rugby, we have England beat Australia 42-7, Japan beat Samoa 32-10, and Spain, they upset Fiji 26-19. So some, you know, big results there in that. But the best thing about this World 15 competition is the fact that Samoa and Fiji are playing consistent amount of games, high-level games, and they get to tour and travel. So they're only going to get better. So well done to, I guess, the World Rugby to be able to put on this competition for all the teams so they can get that exposure and that professionalism.
What's up, guys? Rob Aliota here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nation Footy. Let's age.
Normally we go to Shelley Long, but there's no Shelley this week as she is travelling back from PNG after her win on the weekend. But our main man, Tinera Arona, couldn't resist. He still wanted his voice to be heard. He was there at the game. Let's hear how it went down.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
All right, we are here in Port Moresby. It is an unreal feeling to be able to do this live with our one and only PNG Orchid star, Shelley Long. She's just come off the field playing the Cook Islands Moana, and they have beaten them 28-20. It was such a tough game. Got to watch it live, which is unreal. But Shelley, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an unreal experience. I've never actually played the Cook Island Moanas before. It was an unreal experience witnessing the Cook Islands women's haka. I've never experienced that before from any nation. So to be able to have the Cook Islands do that and represent their culture in front of PNG, I think was an incredible experience as well.
Well, I was hot watching the game. And I seen you do some unreal efforts, especially in defence in the first two sets, taking out the Cook Island winger on this out the sideline.
It's played to Makira, come centre field left, through hands they work it. Away now to Takarangi. She got the pass away to Atai, then away to the winger Raywee, and she's near the touchline again, pushed over by Shelley Long this time, the right centre for PNG.
How did you feel during that game?
Oh, I felt like after our experience this week, I had the ancestors behind me. I felt really connected to the land and really connected to PNG, and I think that really played a big part in how I performed today. Yep. And I think without that, I probably wouldn't have come out on the field like I did.
And Shelley knows that I'm a proud Cook Islander, and I seen her yesterday and she's walked past and I go, I think she might have a bug, but she's just hiding it from me so I don't tell my mum that manages the Cook Islands. So is it true you got a small bug there?
Oh, yeah, I haven't been able to eat much and just been on the fluids the last couple of days. So it was a struggle, but I just tried my heart out on the field. That's all that mattered.
Watching the game, it didn't even look like you were sick. So, yeah, you've done well, very well. Were there any specific players that stood out for you today?
I thought Belinda Gussman, she had an incredible game. And I also thought the Cook Island number 8, I thought she played incredible for the Cook Island Moana. She was unstoppable. Her offloads killed us a little bit on the edges as well. And she made a couple of breaks down there, which really tested our defence.
You spoke about your ancestors and being able to draw on that strength. You've had, there's been on your social media experiences that you went through during this camp. Did you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So for the first time ever, we got to experience what it was like to cook the traditional ways. For many of us, we're based in Australia and we don't have that strong connection to culture like we would want to. So when we came to PNG, a big thing for us was we wanted to be able to really connect to our ancestors, connect back to the land, connect back to PNG where our roots are. So an incredible team and incredible sponsors put together a day for the women. It was only women there that day. we got to learn about the different, so we had the Highlands regions, and we had here in Pom, we had some of the local people show us their traditional ways and methods of cooking food. And it was an incredible experience. I got to jump on a boat. I got to control the boat. I got sacked from that because I was splashing everyone, not doing the right thing. But it was honestly the best experience I've ever had, and it's one that I'll truly cherish forever.
What a special moment. You could see the way that you played, that you mentioned your ancestors. They definitely, it was like the spirits just came in within you and also your team. Did you manage to catch the Tongan game versus the New Zealand women's as well?
Yeah, I managed to catch a bit of it. I thought it was, again, another really good performance from both teams. I thought the Tongan women's side definitely gave it to New Zealand. They really tested them. And I think coming off the back of New Zealand playing Australia, they looked a little bit fatigued as well, which was good for Tonga to be able to test that, test if they were going to perform and show up again that next week. I thought maybe if Mele Hufanga joins Tonga, I think there might be a possibility there that Tonga actually beat them. And I thought they did a really good job coming back as well in that second half.
Yes, imagine a Mele and Tiana combo. Oh. That would be unreal.
It was actually very interesting to see that Tiana Penetani went into the halves in that game. I was surprised to see when I looked and watched the game that they had moved some of their powerful centres into the halves, but I thought it actually made a really good complement to the game.
Yeah, I thought she stuck to her strengths as well, you know, running the ball first, and she managed to get over for a couple of tries as well.
Yeah, that's it, never give up, and she definitely didn't give up in that game, scoring those two tries.
I'm going to cover, boys don't know, the boys don't back in the studio don't know that I've just come up with this, but I was watching the game and I seen some real physical contact, some physical tackles. It was like you were smashing each other, and it reminded me of when I was at training, doing contact training, how much we had to do in the wrestle room. And I was thinking, I wonder if these girls, what do they do for their contact sessions? So can you share with us a bit about how you prepare for your tackles and then contact sessions?
Yeah. When we're in the Orchids, we do a lot of one-on-ones, 2v1s, 3v1s, and our main goal is to slow the ruck down. We've noticed in the women's sport the ruck can be quite fast, so our main focus is to make sure that it slows down and that way we can win it. But a lot of the time it's just you don't want to lose. You don't want to get put on the ground, so you just go out there swinging arms sometimes. Obviously under the head, making the tackle. But yeah, we want to make sure that we don't have to keep bashing each other. So if we get it done, do it fast and quick, then we're able to go away pretty early.
Oh, thank you for that insight. Yeah, just watching, there were some huge hits, and I was like, and those two tackles where you smashed the winger, Cook Island winger, out the side, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was Shelley, eh? And then you got up, I was like, yes! And then I'm like, oh, actually, I should be going for Cook Islands. And my mother has just posted a photo of you and her. You're obviously her favourite on our show. What was that experience like meeting my mother?
Oh, it was incredible. You know, I did exactly what you said, looked out for the flower crown, and she stood out definitely with the flower crown, and I went over there and she was the loveliest person. So I'm so grateful to have been able to meet her.
You met the Queen of the Cook Islands. Anyways, it was an honour to be able to meet you live. I'll meet you in person, sorry, not live, and then be here live in Port Moresby straight after your game. I hope the boys back in the studio still holding our show together. Thank you, Shelley, for joining us on your show, The Long Story Short.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
This is Nijin Footy.
I'm surprised Tinarau didn't try to play on the weekend after that performance from the boys, but hope to see him next week.
No, he's too busy in his Aaron Williams and his chinos and his, too busy being formal, but hopefully we get to hear more about it when he comes back. But up next, Challenge of the Week.
Challenge of the Week.
Yeah, each week, myself and Tinarau would always set ourselves each other a challenge. But this week, with him not being here, I've actually decided to take it a little bit easy on my new co-host for this week. And it's something to do with a little bit random for my mate Sefa. You know, what's it like when you move over to France or move over to a foreign country for the very first time? and you don't know the lay of the land properly. So to put things in context, when I was playing at the Western Force in Perth, we had a lot of imports from South Africa. And over in South Africa, they still have people fill up their car with petrol. And one of our players sat in his car for half an hour waiting for someone to come fill up his car. He didn't know. And then as he got out and realized no one was coming, he didn't know how to take it off the nozzle and put it into his car. So, Seth, you spent a long time in France. Did you have any of those type of stories?
I wasn't stuck at the petrol station because you actually don't go to the counter anymore. It's all done by card in France. So I could say my card didn't work a few times, but we won't go there. When you talk about French fail story, I remember me and my family went for a walk around Cast, a beautiful village in the south, and we just knew it was time to eat. So we went, looked at the menu. I'm like, oh, babe, I'm just going to get this. It's called steak hash, and I was excited. Just wanted a good steak. So I was waiting for them to ask how would I like my steak. So I just figured, oh, she didn't ask me, so I figured, oh, she must know. Every islander gets their steak well done.
It has to be well done. Well, if it's done, bleeding.
And charcoal lines. don't get a say.
No.
But we get
there's
steak.
There's only one option in steak, and it's pretty much burnt. Charcoal lines, tough as. But for a lot of our islanders, that's how they like to eat it.
But I didn't know France was the opposite. It comes out red, like raw mince.
Still mooing.
Yeah, straight off the farm. But while they think they can get me on this steak hash, they try to chuck an egg on top like it's going to make it any better. So I look at Katie and I'm like, babe, where's my steak? Do they know I want to cook?
Was it a cooked egg on top? Yeah. Or was it a raw egg?
It was a raw egg on top.
Of a raw steak.
But I didn't know till now it's called tarte de bouffe. It's a specialized meal in France. But when I seen steak hash, I just thought, oh, perfect. I'm getting like a rump steak with mushroom sauce. But no, I got the raw mince.
Can I ask how much that steak was? Because it sounds expensive, but
let's just say I didn't go back to that restaurant. And I still had to pay for the steak hash I didn't eat. So,
you didn't even eat it?
No.
You'd rather starve than eat the raw steak.
Well, I didn't know what I was eating. Because I know the kids got spaghetti bolognese, but I was like, I don't want real meat. But I wish I did embrace the culture better that day, but wasn't one of my finest, but it was a fail.
Seth, speaking of, that's your French fail story, which was outstanding, but you spent a lot of time over there. And a lot of our Nijmegen footy players end up over in France or England, and they have to adapt to a new culture. We had John Ulungia as a special guest on our show, and he talked about the wine culture, but also the siestas. And I remember catching up with you when you'd come back from France. You'd want to meet up at 11 at night. I was like, well, what's going on? It's not France. We meet up during the day, mate. So what was it like for you moving over there with your family, playing footy over there and embracing the culture as a young Pacifica lad, but you're a bit older now. But yeah, what was that like for yourself?
I just couldn't recommend the experience for any other rugby player out there, you know. Before we left from Australia to go to France, me and my wife decided, you know, we're just going to embrace and make the most of our time over there. And you talk about routine. When my daughter started school in France, they start at 3 years old. So for us, that was already a shock that they start actually school from 9 to 5. So for us, dropping our daughter at 9 and picking her up at 5 was a different experience. But then we'd talk about routines and we'd say, oh, yeah, our daughter goes to bed at 7 p.m. And they'll give us the weirdest look. They're like, wow, 7 p.m. And we're like, oh, what time does your kid go to sleep? They're like, 11 p.m. So, like, for us, that was a total cultural shock. And they couldn't believe we could actually put our daughter to bed at that time. But I just think the whole culture in itself, the quality of life that France offers, that's something that we really took away from there. Things are always slow to get done, but they get done. It's like they're not in a rush. Every day there's a 12 to 2 lunch break. It's actually by law. Every organization has
by law.
Law. That every organization actually has to have a lunch break for 2 hours.
How do we campaign that here in Australia? How do we get on that?
Like I said, everything's slow, but it works. They still get things done. So I think it's just the understanding. Like, they're not there to just have lunch. Like, I would go to lunch and just can't wait to munch my burger. They're at lunch speaking about, oh, this meat's from this region. Oh, this wine was in a wet season, so the grapes would be made differently. Like, it's actually a full understanding of what you're eating and enjoying. So I just feel like a lot of what they do, it works. Might incorporate some of that when we come back to Australia like we are now, but I just think the quality of life over there.
Well, that's the, man, that's actually really cool to hear, because living in Japan, it was the same thing. You know, dropping my daughter off at the age of 3, and she actually caught the bus by herself to school. So you think about it, like, so I was with the Wild Knights there, and their kids' bus stop was across the road. So they would, my wife would drop my daughter off at the bus stop, and then I'd wave from the fence. But it was just spinning out, like, she's 3 years old catching the bus by herself to school. But it's normal. And I was just, like, me and my wife, we're just spinning out. I was like, are we doing this? Is this normal? But you realize, as you said, it was actually a really cool experience, because their bus was like a Pikachu bus or a big dog bus as well, and all the kids were on there. So that cultural experience you just wouldn't get if you just had have stayed. On the footy side of things, you've played over 200 NRL games with the Penny Panthers, the Sharkies, the Parramatta Eels, played over in St. Helens. You've retired up now. Like, how do you sum up your career and your experience?
I remember meeting up with like a life coach, and I just said, how do I get better as a player? And I just wrote down 3 things I wanted to be really good at. And one was to be a spark, because a lot of my career was off the bench. So when I came on the field, I just tried to add a bit of enthusiasm, energy. 2, I wanted to add value to my club and the community that I played for. And 3, I just wanted to show that I care. So for me, like, everywhere I went, every team I played for, when I left, I hope those players that I played with or coaches and clubs that I represented know that I care. So
that, well, to be honest, everyone that we speak to that I've come across, it's the consistent theme or message, and they go, oh, yeah, Sefa Paulo or Joseph Paulo, and they'll exactly say those things about how you are such a club man, a team man, a family man, and they loved being around you, because no matter the result, they could always probably come to you just to be able to say, hey, you know what, life's all right, we're just playing a bit of footy. You know, it's just a result at the end of the day. Where did that kind hearted nature come from? Is that mum?
Yeah.
Auntie Jane?
Very spoiled with 2 amazing parents. My father's Samoan and my mother's Niuean. So just really deep-rooted into a lot of our culture. My mum would always say, my granddad would say, whālongo oskai. So listen and be respectful. But sometimes when the boys are teasing me about my hair, Sam, as you know.
Oh, no, you keep wearing a hat everywhere.
This thing they call the island on top, there's been a bit of disrespect and over 15 years, but, you know, I've had to just listen and be respectful of how people see my hair. But probably just like my career, I had 15 years as a professional, and the island is finally,
it's coming to an end.
Yeah, it's finally sunk.
No, but you did mention your grandparents, and we had your cousin on here who lived with you, Mikey Filomona. He came on here and told his story about how he went and lived with you guys and, you know, grew up with the grandparents. And I know you had a good listen to it. You know, listening to his story, knowing that you grew up with him and you were part of that journey, about how he felt, like listening back about how he felt, like, how did that make you feel?
It's crazy, because a lot of our culture, and even to everyone listening in the Pacific, you know how it is when things are happening, but you're not saying anything. It's like, it's very clear that there's an understanding of what happened in the family or something outside, but it just feels like you can't say anything. And it was crazy to hear Mike's story, obviously living with him for 10 years. And then hearing that, it just felt like it, they always say vulnerability leads to strength, you know, and to hear him so vulnerable and speak highly of his upbringing in the islands, to leave his parents and to sort of bring up a life that he didn't expect. It sort of hit home just about the challenges that a lot of our Pacific kids are facing, especially even in your own household, which I didn't even know. So to hear Mike's story on Nisian Footy, it really spoke to me about just making sure that we're checking in with people close to us, even if it is your brother or your sister or your parents. So,
yeah, very well said. Obviously, he spoke with a lot of truth, a lot of love. I mean, he loved living with you guys and your grandparents. But it is different, when you're a young kid and then all of a sudden you're ripped away, not ripped, but you're asked to live, you know, with other family members who aren't your parents. It's different for a lot of people normally. But as I said, in our cultures, it's pretty similar, and that's how we got to bond, because my cousin did the same thing with us. Finishing up, what's next on the cards? If you retired up only just a couple of weeks ago, what's next?
Yeah, really excited. Just for any player that's transitioning out of work or out of sport, it was a pretty tough process. I was lucky to have 9 months in France to really think about what I want to do. So I've started doing a bit of work in NDIS and then delivering a few presentations in education and wellbeing in schools in Newcastle with Impact Academy. I'm doing a bit of barista work, surprisingly.
Yeah, you make a good coffee.
Yeah, a bit of latte art. But
what you going
no
to?
One drinks little... milk here now anymore, so it doesn't really matter. Everyone gets the batch brew or cold brew. I'm like, oh, man, I was getting excited working on my coffee skills in France. But, yeah, just the flat white. Normal milk, not the extra hot, extra shot, two sugars and some of the orders I've been getting lately. But
three-quarter full.
Three-quarter full.
Almond latte. But have four sugars in it. But
but yeah, excited for the transition, looking to get into sports business through the NRL and RLPA. But just happy to be here, and thanks to the crew at ABC.
Oh, that's unreal. Hey, we're excited to have you on here today to share your knowledge, come in time, and hopefully we can help with your journey transitioning out of, you know, rugby league.
Nation knowledge.
Sefa, Nijan knowledge. We are on. This is the moment of our show where I would say myself and T, there's a little bit of tension there. And
I thought you guys were just eating food.
No, that's the challenge. That's the challenge of the week, okay mate. This is Nijan knowledge.
Pardon.
Yes, you know, so it's genuine tension as well. Some of his questions I just really dislike, and when we leave this studio, we have a couple of words after it to say, are you serious? Like, and actually, while you're here, can you actually bring up the time you corrected T? You gave me a call.
Did I?
Yes, you know
did
when.
Did I correct?
You corrected him, and you helped me get a point back.
I thought it was a slight nudge.
It was a nudge, yeah, so... If for those who remember, we talked about Carmichael Hunt and getting his birth date, because it was a who am I question.
And he said he was Samoan, but now he's Cook Island head coach.
Head coach. So
someone who's Cook Island. Sorry, T. I didn't even think of that till I thought of that now.
Yeah, so I don't know where T, what Wikipedia page he's looking up, but he's getting his facts wrong.
I was in France going to a wedding in Nice, and I was driving, and when I was listening to you guys, you know, I've been on the journey for 9 months, loving the tension that you guys present every week. And I was like, babe, it's not 1987. I would have played Carmichael Hunt. It just didn't sit right. And my wife's trying to get ready for this wedding. I'm on Google like, it's not right. And she's like, hurry up, get ready. So I'm glad I just gave you a slight nudge. Not throwing stones, T.
No, you can't. You don't understand. When you sent me that message and it came through and I read, hey, T got that wrong. Carmichael Hunt was born in 1987. No, 86. Whatever it was, doesn't matter. He got it wrong. He got it wrong, and I was so happy, bro. So I'm not going to drive a wedge between our relationship, Seth. We've known each other for too long. We don't need that in our
not
life.
Not today. Not today.
Not today.
We don't need that stress.
We don't need
We've
it. We've got kids. Exactly.
We've got kids at home.
We don't need that. But so we're going to go one for one, okay? Nice, easy. We'll ease into it, and then we'll kickstart the tension next week when T comes back. But who wants to go first, me or you?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right, go.
Let's do it.
Remember what I said at the start, yeah? No tension, okay?
I did see you Googling before the show, so it's not a good sign for me. I came in here wanting to be easy, but...
Nah, look, trust me. I just need to just fact check something. You'll be right.
All right.
Here we go. Needs
so
knowledge.
On the weekend, we had Fiji Butty versus Cook Islands.
Yes.
Don't give me that look. It's easy. What is the Fijian hymn called that they sing before every match?
Oh, this is a really good question, and I should know this.
I kept it simple because you're pretty much a resident of Fiji.
I've got no idea what it's called, though. What's it called?
So as you walk into this building, who greets us?
Our Fijian brother at the front.
Our boy Jock. And I even asked him for the correct pronunciation.
Lay it on me.
The noko.
Noko.
Masu.
Oh, noko masu. Masu means prayer in Fijian.
And then there you go. That was going to be my extra point. What does it mean in English?
Yeah, masu means prayer. I don't know what noko means, but I actually like that question.
This is our prayer.
This is our prayer. This is our prayer.
Just one day, this is our prayer. You might come ready for Nijian knowledge.
Yeah, okay. Hey, look, you know what? I'm not angry at that because that's a really good question. And I
went to the freaking flyer of Fiji Airways.
Outstanding. So, okay, this one's an easy one for you too, Seth. Really easy. How do you qualify for the USA? How did you qualify for that? Because I forgot to mention that you captain USA.
Yep. So my mother was born in American Samoa.
Okay.
So it's counted as a county of America. And she's
really?
Got an American passport.
Okay. So that allowed you to captain the Tomahawks back in
2013.
Jokes. That's not the question, by the way. Off the back of that, you were able to get a start with the famous children's music production. I don't know what they call it. They're just a children's show called The Wiggles.
Yep.
Famous, worldwide famous. Okay, you got to star in one of their clips. To this day, how many views does that clip have?
On Netflix or YouTube?
Just YouTube. Sorry, YouTube. Is it on Netflix as well? Wow,
oh, sorry.
I don't have that data for
oh, you didn't subscribe to Netflix?
Analytics? How many views
YouTube.
Does YouTube?
Are you going to give me like a margin? Like,
it's a lot.
Like 100,000 margin?
It's north of that.
I haven't got that many views, 100,000.
Mate, it is a lot. I'm telling you, it's a lot.
Okay.
When I say a lot, I mean it's a lot.
We'll go with 4.5 million.
Whoa. I'm going to pay that because it was actually 4.9 million views.
Oh, underselled my video.
4.9 million. And you asked what I was Googling. I just wanted to know what those views were. And I was thinking, yeah, maybe a couple of 100,000, but 4.9 million. Tell me you got some royalties on this commission, something per view.
No royalties. All for the kids, mate.
All
just a good story to tell the kids. And now they love it. So that's probably 4.8 million of my own views.
Yeah, your kids
watching the kids.
Hey, kids, this is me. But hey, Seth, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope all of our listeners across the Pacific enjoyed this one with the man. Hopefully we can get him back at some point. But that's our time up for another week of Nijian Footy. We'll see you next Monday on ABC Radio Australia or listen anytime wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you.
Au revoir.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.